Today's gospel in John, although I certainly want you to do that maybe a bit later, I wanted to share with you today the very story of the coming of the Holy Spirit as it is shared in the second chapter of the book of Acts. So listen with your hearts to this remarkable story of faith. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds and power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." Here ends the reading. I want us to, are we singing next? I guess I haven't looked ahead here. Yes, we are singing. So join with me, and I invite you to turn in your hymnals to 398 as we sing the words, "Holy Spirit, Truth Divine." Good friends, let's join our hearts in prayer. Lord, as we gather on this glorious, beautiful day you've made, we're grateful to be a part of this continuing story of faith as it unfolds, reminded again in fresh new ways of the empowerment of your Spirit that guides, that gifts, that keeps us going. And so as we embrace the good news once again, revive in us a fresh new understanding of the power of your Spirit for each of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Earlier this week, when I was beginning to reflect on this day of Pentecost, I stumbled across a story that may resonate with some of you that either have taught Sunday school or perhaps have been a student in a Sunday school classroom. It seems there was a certain teacher that decided that she really wanted to leave her students with a deepened understanding of all the words of the Apostles' Creed. And knowing that that was a daunting task, she didn't assign them to memorize the whole thing as much as to kind of break it apart into measurable speaking parts that they could focus on and just kind of drum it in deep into their hearts. And then as a class, they gathered together and they presented the words of the Apostle Creed. And it was going beautifully. The very first student stands up and proudly says, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth." And then the second child rose up and he said, "I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord." And on it went. And it seemed like everything was just going just as the teacher had planned. Finally, a student responded with these words that you know well. "He ascended into heaven, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead." But then at this point, an embarrassing hush fell over the entire group, and they kind of started nervously looking at each other and squirming around as they stood in front of the church. The next line, of course, is, "I believe in the Holy Spirit." But there was total silence. Finally, a brave little girl raised her hand and said, Teacher, the boy who believes in the Holy Spirit, he's absent today." Yikes. Well, let's hope that isn't descriptive of our gathering here today as we focus on this marvelous good news once again. I am sure earlier this morning as Deacon Joanne began our service, she reminded all of us that today, Pentecost, is the birthday of the church. It's that remarkable tale in the life narrative of the good news of our Savior, where we are reminded again of how God's Spirit was revealed in a powerful and life-giving way. I truly believe it's one of the most important and significant days in the life story of our church. The message that I chose to surprise you with a bit today comes from what's called the Acts of the Apostles in the second chapter. And maybe more rightly so, rather than calling it the Acts of the Apostles or that of the disciples, it probably is better described as the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because it is indeed God's Spirit working in and through us, his followers, his disciples, that many stories have been related throughout the narrative of faith. I want to leave you at least with an assignment today as you go, and you don't have to do it right away, but I really urge all of us at one time or another in the near future, read the book of Acts. Because it is filled with remarkable reminders of the power of God's Spirit, alive and active in God's people. Commercial aside, here's what was happening in the time frame in which the disciples were waiting for God's Spirit. Jesus had promised them, after he ascended to be with the Father, that he would send a helper, an advocate, a guide who would empower them to do great things. And so they waited and they waited and they waited. It was 7 weeks beyond the resurrection of our Lord. He had told them some of his final words, "Go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them all that I have commanded you." And you can imagine how wearying that must have been just hearing that assignment. Here are these common, ordinary fisher folk, common laborers, men and women alike, They didn't have enough education in the scriptures to get up and be preaching about the good news of Jesus to all the world. And yet Jesus wanted to remind them, it's not just you that's doing it. The power of the Spirit will surge through you. All you need do is open yourself to the Spirit's presence, the Spirit's inspiration, the Spirit's infusion into your lives, and walk in faith. Friends, the story that we pick up today is that very moment when the Spirit came, as Jesus promised. They were all gathered together in a room, and it was probably even smaller than this one, when all of a sudden the windows burst open and there's the roar of this violent wind, as it is described, that swirls into the room and fills everyone present with the very breath of God. Imagine what that must have been like. Talk about a surprise that was totally unexpected. The breath of God infusing the people of God. Recently, I came across a story that was related by Dr. Tom Long. And he tells this wonderful story about a pastor that wanted to find some surprising ways to engage his congregation on Sunday morning for Pentecost. And so he made some arrangements that I thought were rather creative. Just as the story was beginning to be told about the violent wind blowing through the room, the pastor had someone at the sound booth play over the audio system as loud as could be the sound of a hurricane. Maybe it was kind of like those winds that we experienced on Friday evening through here. The children, who were sitting calmly in the pews, they're scribbling away on their little church worksheets with crayons and colored pencils, all of a sudden looked up. What's going on? The story continued as it began telling about tongues of fire appearing over the heads of the disciples. The pastor had recruited some people out in the gathering that day to rise up out of their seats and start waving over their heads these bright red pom-poms. We've got Spirit. Yes, we do. We've got Spirit. How about you? Can you imagine? Then when this reading got on to languages, there were the gift of people in this gathering who knew a variety of languages of their native countries. And so the pastor had singled them out and said, I want you to speak in your native tongue, and I want you all to do it at the same time. So there probably were maybe some Norwegians and Swedes and Finns and Italians and Germans and Russian, you name it, and they're all speaking these languages and creating this huge cacophony of sound in the midst of the gathering. So imagine again how everybody was really getting engaged. This was surprising. This isn't the norm for church. Finally, the pastor rose up and it was time to share the message of the day. And no sooner did the pastor get a few words into his sermon that morning when suddenly he was interrupted, just cut right off, as somebody in the far back stood up and started laughing raucously and saying, is this church? This place is crazy. As the pastor was greeting folks following the service, I think he was surprised more than anyone. As we often do, and we shake hands and we wish each other a good day, the pastor looked down, particularly at a young boy. And he was walking out with his dad, and the boy suddenly looked up at his dad and he said, wow, Dad, that really was church today. And the pastor could do nothing but break out into a smile. And friends, I'm imagining what that could really feel like. Real church. Church that is not just about a building, but about the people of God being engaged with the good news of who God is with us, embracing the promise of God's Spirit surging through us, renewing us, giving us new life. Now, I say this honestly before you because I've been a part of church gatherings nearly 35 years as a pastor, and I know the drill. We come to church and we sit quietly and we sing some songs, we hear the word of God spoken, we pray some prayers, and then we leave for the day, and all is just kind of quiet and very stable. Nothing really surprising happening. And I don't know about you, but there are many times when I ask myself, what has become of the church? The church meaning God's people. The church meaning those of us who have been gifted with the Spirit of God. Is there still new life possible for you and for me as a believer in Jesus, for this church gathering called Mo Lutheran? And you know, I want to say boldly before you, because of the promise of God's Spirit, I believe there can be new life all the time. But we've got to keep our eyes open, and we've got to be willing to be participants in bringing the life of Christ into our midst and spilling out beyond. Now, let me tell you some of the things that I've been pondering that help me have that hope and to see it as a possibility. I don't know about you, but I don't pay a whole lot of attention to my breath. Do you? You know, we have this powerful gift that is within us. You're doing it right now. You breathe in very silently. You breathe out very gently. And we do this hundreds of thousands of times throughout our life. And yet it is a powerful yet mysterious gift that is a part of us. From the very moment that we breathed our first breath as we entered this life, our breath is a sign of our life. We breathe in and we breathe out. But you know, there's something really remarkable about this, and our youngsters in our midst certainly have maybe experienced this. Have you ever tried to hold your breath for a remarkably long amount of time? You know, you draw your breath in, and you hold it until your face starts turning bright red, and you keep on, I'm going to do this, and then all of a sudden, you burst your breath out. We know that this is the reality of our lives. We can't just keep drawing in breath and holding on to it, just keeping it secure right there inside of our lungs, because I dare say, as time goes by, our lungs would just swell, 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 and then pop like a balloon. And guess what? We would die. We would be no more. Friends, there's a spiritual lesson in this. It reminds me of what we see often in the scriptures. Those of you that are Bible students and like reading and studying, you may recall that in the back of your Bibles, there are maps there that identify places in the land where Jesus was living and loving and guiding his disciples. And you might notice, and you've heard of this, at the very north part of the land where Jesus was living and serving and loving is a place called the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee is a remarkable, beautiful place. It is often infused with fresh new waters every spring as the surrounding mountains to the north and the snows that fall upon those mountain peaks melt and trickle down and refresh the waters of the Sea of Galilee. Galilee is the place where Jesus first met his disciples. It's a place of receiving. But also what's remarkable is that from Galilee flows another particular body of water you're familiar with, the Jordan River. It's the place where Jesus was baptized, where John the Baptizer was bringing others to know of Jesus. And flowing through that Jordan River, it goes through this wonderful valley that is nourished and made fruitful and alive because of the waters. It's probably the most fertile place in all of the Holy Land where Jesus was living. And then at the base of the Jordan River, flowing to its exit point, if you will, is another body of water. It's called the Dead Sea. You've probably heard of that as well. But something that's really remarkable about this particular body of water is that it does nothing but receive the waters of the Jordan. It receives those waters, it keeps them, and the sad result is that it becomes the most brackish and lifeless water source on the planet, I dare say. Thus the name, Dead Sea. Now here's the lesson that I'm taking from this. Friends, we are Pentecost people. We are meant to be people who model the rhythm of breathing, of drawing in and breathing out, of the good news of Christ flowing in and then flowing out from us. A giving and receiving cycle of life. You who are here with me today, and you know this as well as I, we have been the recipients of marvelous gifts. Maybe from the first time that we began our journey of faith, tiny ones in Sunday school, and we began learning from the voicings of teachers and those of faith, words about God and God's love for us. Some of you may have memorized, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." And we've been steeped in that message. We've been receivers of it for generations of time, I dare say, those of us that are a little more white-haired. We know this message. We have been the receivers of life. We'll do so a bit later in our service as we share in the meal of communion, Christ's body given for us, Christ's blood poured out for us for the forgiveness of sin. These are messages of goodness. And they have blessed us for much of our lives. But friends, the thing that I am wrestling with today on this Pentecost Sunday is this. Have we forgotten the other half of the equation? All our lives, we've received the good news. We have celebrated it. We have shared it among ourselves. But is that all the further it has gone? The real message of today is to learn once again, we are not meant to be receivers only, but those who share the gift of the good news. It's the greatest power that we have been ever given as God's people. To be awakened again to the wonderful truth that God has gifted us with life in order for us to share that life with all the world, those around us. And it can start right in our homes, among our family members, among our friends, those that we are out on the athletic field with, in the school classroom, wherever we may be. Now, I am just so blessed as I think about this message because I'm looking at you graduates, soon to be, and I know that you've been a part of this same journey. You were here for Sunday school. Some of you taught it. All of you, I dare say, were here for confirmation instruction, and you continued to learn this message of good news. My challenge to you is that you take on not only the gift, but you become those who seek to share the gift. That's one of the greatest joys of this time in our lives. Even though it's bittersweet as we send our young people on their way after reaching this chapter in your lives, what's significant to me about it is that you become ambassadors from your community out in the world, wherever God leads you. You become those who have received the gift of faith and now are being invited to share that gift in and out, receiving and sharing. And it's the same for all of us, friends, as we gather together on this remarkable day to be reawakened again to God's love for us and to recommit ourselves to sharing that with the world around us. It's as simple and yet marvelous and impactful as that. I love the way this pastor addressed his congregation on one Pentecost Sunday, and I thought it bared repeating to you today as I bring this to a close. Reverend Rick Kirchhoff shared bold words to his congregation on Pentecost Sunday. He said this, "Today the Spirit of God is present, and we're going to have church. So be ready. God is up to something. Discouraged folk out there, cheer up. Dishonest folk, fess up. Sour folks, it's time to sweeten up. Closed folk, open up. Gossipers, shut up. Conflicted folk, make up. Sleeping folk, wake up. Lukewarm folk, fire up. And pew potatoes, stand up and be counted." Friends, I can't think of a better word to conclude our reflection about this Pentecost day, the birthday of the church. God is sending us forth continually into the world, not just to be receivers only, but to be those who share the gift of life. May it continue to be so for all of us. Thanks be to God.
Well, after that, I feel like, yay.